will be based on, we'll start from the platform of the first ashram or brahmacharya. In other words, to function well within the varnashram system. So to understand and function well within varnashram, we need to understand the total system. Because if we do not understand the whole thing, then we will not know where we are and what part we are playing. Means varnashram is situated on the body of the Supreme Lord. So this means that we are functioning within the realm of the Lord's hands, the Lord's hands, with his arms, the Lord's legs. Then we can, the whole body can properly function. Starts by understanding what is Brahman. Brahmacharya means one who is following or practicing the path of understanding Brahman. A brahmachari is not a piece of orange cloth or a very large, well-combed and oiled sika. Also not some big neck beads or so many kavaches that we are putting, or on the bottom, nice fancy border, you know, nice chuck. So this is not what makes a brahmachari. Of course, it is a popular conception, but this is not what makes a brahmachari. Because brahmacharya means a consciousness. This consciousness means the ability to understand what is matter, what is spirit, and who are we. And we have to be able to understand the different levels of consciousness. So this means we have anamoya is the first level of consciousness, which means the platform of the mind, the senses, and anything we can perceive with the senses, what we can deal with the senses. So this means arts, this means science, any of these things means this first platform. And of course, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The next platform is pranamoy. Pranamoy means being able to understand others also have life. So by understanding others have life, this means we have to be able to work with others. We have to recognize that others exist, that they have needs, they have desires, and our attempt to get our needs and desires cannot conflict with theirs. So then, that is the second platform. From this platform also comes economic development, justice, material justice. These anything where it's one person has to deal with another. Then the next level of consciousness is manamoy. Means this is the platform of religious principles. Now it's also called jnana because it means there is knowledge. But it is the knowledge that the mind has a great affinity for. Because the mind likes following this principle. So this, as we see, when we say we're going crazy, the mind's going crazy, means there's nothing to connect it to. There's no standard. It runs here, it runs there, it thinks anything. So all the social rules and regulations, religious principles, are all made to keep the mind peaceful. Just like we see, we may be controlling the mind. But if we just let the mind go a little bit, then we see it just runs away with the senses. Because then there is no standards. There's nothing to control it. So there's a way. The idea is that by the social rules and regulations, the mind is controlled. So this is the platform of dharma, the platform of religious principles. Then the next platform is called vijnanamoy. So vijnanamoy means that we understand that we're not the body, we're the soul. And on this platform of the soul, then we view the rest of the world. So this is the Brahma-Bhuta platform, or the platform of Brahman. So this is the bottom level of transcendence. It means we know we're not the body, but we don't know that we're servant of the Lord. So then the next level is called Anandamoy. So this Anandamoy, this platform is the platform where we understand we are servant of Krishna and we are trying to serve. Okay, so these are the five levels of consciousness. Now if we look at this from the platform of Varnashram, then we see that these levels of consciousness also correspond to the levels of consciousness of those within the material Varnashram system. The Varnashram system has two parts. One is called the Asuric Varnashram, which means following the rules and regulations of the Varnashram, but without God as the center. This is called Pravritti, or the path of sense enjoyment. Here you'll find your jnanis, your yogis, your karmis, your bogies, all these kind of people. Then then you find the other half is called Daiva Varnashram. This is meant for those who God is the center. So this is called Nivritti, where God is the center of all the religious principles. So now there's an interesting difference between we see that the Anamoy, so within these platforms we see we have the Shudra, is a platform of occupational activities, is the senses. Because to do the arts, you require the senses. So then their situation is within the realm of Anamoy. Then we see the Vaishyas, they are within the realm of Pranamoy. And there is all your economics, your justice, all these different things. To make a road, a government road, this is Pranamoy. Your trucks have to go down the road, everything has to move. So to make all this kind of things, this is all from that platform. This is, you see, the next level of dharma, that is the realm of the activities of the Kshatriya. This is dharma, right? First is kama, then artha, means economics, then dharma, then vijnanamoy, that is moksha, that is the Brahman. So the Brahman means one who knows Brahman. So now Prabhupada says that there's three levels of Brahman. The first level is called Dvija. So Dvija means that he has the right to study and perform the Vedic sacrifices and learn the Vedic knowledge. So that, but he knows nothing. Just like you have admission into the school. So you have the right to go and study, but you still don't know anything. The next level, higher than that, is called the Vipra, means one who has knowledge. So this Vipra then has studied the Vedic knowledge or some branch of it and has become expert. You can also call them Pandit. Then the next level, once they understand why the knowledge that they've learned, what it's for, what is its knowledge, what is its goal, and they realize that is Krishna, then they become Vaishnava. So that means that a Vaishnav is automatically a Brahmin. And this means that Prabhupada mentions that they've already done all these other things in previous lifetimes. Has already done all of Varnashram duties. So on this, so the basis is consciousness. That makes a Vaishnav. Therefore, sometimes you see Prabhupada glorifying the Vaishnava, glorifying the realized Brahmins. And then sometimes he's talking about useless Brahmi, Martas, people in the dress of Vaishnavs, so-called Vaishnavs. This is because Vaishnav means consciousness, it's not dress. So it's not the dress that makes us a devotee, but it's the consciousness. So this must be kept in mind throughout this discussion. So now this creates a very interesting situation. The culture then of the Vaishnavas is common. Common meaning it's the same for everybody. It is, there's not a different culture because everyone as a Vaishnav is a Brahmin. At minimum, within the Varnashram system, we call the minimum that a devotee is accepted as. Though we may be doing the activities of a Brahmin, of a Kshatriya, of a Vaishya, a Shudra, it doesn't matter because it's all being done for the Lord. So then this creates a different situation. Means now we're dealing with the head, the arms, the legs of the Lord. Means the form of the Lord, the transcendental form of the Lord. While the Asuric Varnashram, these are the different parts of the Lord's manifestation as the universal form. Alright? So therefore these two systems, even though the same rule is followed, we sit in a line, take prasad, and the smartas are sitting in a line and take prasad. But the flavor is completely different. Because one is the transcendental form of the Lord and one is the material manifestation of the Lord's energies. So therefore, when we say something is smarta, that means it is being done without understanding of the Lord. it is being done for the Lord. So this means the smartas, the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, they don't understand that the activities they are doing is for the pleasure of the Lord, while the devotees do. So because in the mundane varnashram, there is not this understanding. Therefore, the pranamoy is better than the anamoy. So the vaishyas are better than the shudras. Dharma is better than that. The kshatriyas are therefore superior to the shudras. Understanding Brahman is superior to that. So the Brahmins are superior to the kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras. But the perfection is the vaishnava. Because the Vaishnava does things for the Lord. Therefore, on the Lord's body, it's not that one part is better than the other. Right? No one is not touching the Lord's feet because, well, they're the feet, the head's better, I'll touch the head. So in the Daiva Varnashram system, these things are not seen. In that Daiva Varnashram, then I'm looking at the principle of devotional development. Kanista, Madhyam, Uttam. So therefore, that is what we're looking at, not what is the service. Right? Is this clear? So now this means that therefore the Vaishnav culture is common. It's not different like in the Asuric Varnashram. Their Shudras have their culture, Vaishyas another, Shinsips another, Brahmins another. But in the Daiva Varnashram you have one culture because there's a common platform of consciousness. If we can understand the difference between these two systems of Varnashram, then we can actually begin to make it work. Otherwise, we want to practice Daiva Varnashram, but if we follow a rule just because it's a rule and don't know its connection to the Lord, then what's the difference between us and the smartest? Because the difference of any situation in the material world is simply consciousness, nothing else. Consciousness is transcendental, you're in the spiritual realm. Consciousness is not transcendental, we're in the material world. The 8,400,000 species of life are based on consciousness. Therefore, our position in the Varnashram is also consciousness. So one may ask, well, why do we need Varnashram? The problem comes because of the conditioned nature. If we are transcendental, we simply have to hear about the Lord and immediately we're devotees and we act on the transcendental platform. That's what happened with the four Kumaras. They just smelled the Tulsi leaf and then they became God-realized. And Sukadev Goswami, he heard the pastimes of the Lord, he became self-realized. So we have also heard Bhagavatam, we have also smelled and tasted the Tulsi leaves, but we somehow or another, we may not have gotten the same result. But this is because of the conditioned nature. And this is, four Kumaras did not think they were the body. But we are thinks for the body, the dishes, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. So it takes some practice to change that. So the Varnashram system is how to practice getting rid of the conditioned consciousness. This is probably the most essential point to understand about Varnashram. That the whole, all the rules, regulations are simply to destroy the material concept. It's like we see when Srila Prabhupada was a small child. I'm not sure if it was him or he was talking about some other small child. So all the family members were sitting around and there was a fan running, his table fan. And there was a small child there, 2-3 years old. So this child wanted to stick his finger in the fan. So then, you know, some of the relatives, and they were saying, no, this, that, so many different things. But one of the uncles said, no, don't do like that. He said, first pull out the plug on the fan. And he said, when it slows down, where it's just a little bit going, not so fast, then you tell the kid, okay, now put your finger. So then the kid was very enthusiastic, because that's what he wanted. So he stuck his finger in the fan, and then it made a big noise. So then the child got scared, pulled his finger out, and then kid ran off. So then that child would never stick his finger in the fan again. So this is the purpose of Varnashram, right? We fancy ourselves big brahmacharis, big, you know, mature grihastas, you know, realized vanaprastas, dynamic sannyasis. So the system is given so you can put your finger in there and figure out that we're none of these. So that's what it's for. So now one has to understand that the Vaishnav sees things as they are, but he is realistic also. This means that by using this system that we look and we can see, oh, this is what it is. But this does not mean that we take it lightly. This is the important part. This is the difference between the Kanista and the Madhyam Adhikari. The Kanista, the difficulty finding the balance, while the Madhyam can find that balance. Means the Kanista has between the Kanista, not follow the rules because that's for fanatics. Then, or the other side, we said those they don't care so much. Because main point is neither of them understand what is the purpose of things. We have to understand its purpose, its goal, what are the reasons how they things technically work. So that means anyone who's a Vaishnav has the intelligence to understand. Right? Otherwise we could not become a devotee. So, and if the technical thing, right? So anyone, at least we can understand that we need to follow it. So here we see that the Varnashram, it must be followed. Now why must it be followed? Because for the Vaishnav, he follows it to please Krishna. The Karmi, he follows Varnashram because he wants some pious result. He wants some position, some place in the heavenly planets. And the jnanis, then they want the subtle aspects of this. They want to be God. They want to be the controllers. The yogis, they want mystic powers. They can control, they can enjoy. But for the devotees, they follow the rules to please Krishna. So now we can see that the Varnashram system is for accommodating all kinds of people. So therefore, within so many rules and regulations in Varnashram, the acharyas have picked out those ones that will help us develop pure devotionals. Therefore, the ones that are meant to get you to the heavenly planets or get you, you know, into the Brahman, or these things, these are left. And the acharyas then have given us just those aspects of the culture that help us elevate our consciousness, so that we become pure devotees. So this is given to us mainly the technical details by Sanatana Goswami in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And further, explanation of the principles by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. Therefore, the principles of Sadhana Bhakti and this Varnashram are very much conferred. The devotional activities, then this is our sadhana. And then we act, we do activities according to our nature. And this is our service. So they're very much connected. So now we go another step back. No, we won't do that. Okay, at this point we'll see. Are there any questions on this up to now? We're starting a little esoteric because there's some foundations we must set before we get down to discussing things.
You're saying our acharyas are discriminated between the activities that they want to have in the planets and moksha. So Srila Prabhupada said he will take this introduced in society. Now if a person wants Kamakandiya or Kandiya, right, so moksha, and he wanted us to introduce Varnashram society, then how are we going to introduce it if the Goswamis have given us rejected or not using these principles but picking up the devotion? But how can we train them if that's their train to go to the heavenly planets? Should we mislead them and encourage them to go to the heavenly planets? If we have to be the leaders or establish it in society?
And so Janayesh Prabhu was making the point that if Prabhupada wanted this Varnashram established not only for us but for the society in general, so then if the acharyas have kind of like cut out those aspects that are for karma and jnana, then what about those people who are very interested in that? So then how we will lead if we cannot give all these things? So basically, Prabhupada wasn't interested in giving those up. Prabhupada wasn't in. Those things are going on anyway. What we need to teach is how to develop our love for Krishna. So therefore, this is called Bhagavad Dharma. That dharma, or religious activities by following, you do reawaken your love for God. Most important, like we mentioned before, the difference between the two systems, or the Daiva and the Asuric, is mainly consciousness. So generally, you see no principle has been dropped by coming from the lower system to the higher system. There's a word for principle.
Siddhanta.
Or it's also, in other words, what's the root? This is also called Upya. Some rules, the secondary rules, those have been left. This is important. This is stand for those devotees who have a tendency to think, all these things are for the fanatics. We don't worry so much for the rules. Because if we knew what rules were already dropped, we would not consider someone simply following what Prabhupada says in his book. Another fanatic. Give an example. You breathe. At least I expect that you're all breathing. So by breathing, we're killing so many living entities. So what are you doing for that? Whenever you drink water, how are you atoning for those living entities killed? When you sweep the floor, you kill living entities. When you light the fire to cook, or any fire, and just by walking. So just by these activities alone, everybody's going to hell. You have to do every day a special yajnas and that to free yourself from those reactions. So instead of that, the acharyas have given us chant Hare Krishna. Or let us say, if you don't offer the shrads, the pindas, the offerings to the forefathers, then also one goes to hell. And also all those forefathers, if no one's feeding them, they get real hungry. It means they only eat because you offer those little bowls of rice. You imagine 1 year not eating, or generations not eating. So then one naturally will go to hell for that. So then what are we doing for that? We are recognizing that Krishna, he is the father, he is the great father thing. So then, because of this, and by chanting and serving Krishna, then we are serving the forefathers. So therefore, when we say, yes, we don't care for the world, we chant Hare Krishna, one has to know what that means. Otherwise, it's not enough saying, we don't care for all these things, and then we do whatever we like, how we like. Staying independent, staying away from everybody else, then doesn't balance. This is where the Kanista has problems. When it comes to rules and regulations, I have to control myself, but we just chant Hare Krishna. When it comes to real things like eating, sleeping, mating, defending, then I do it the way I like for my pleasure. So this is not a sign of advancement. This is a sign of false ego. So we cannot just pick and choose as we like. Like we have the goose. It is laying the golden egg. It's very nice. We get golden egg at the front half of it. Eats so much, laying so much noise. So then the man said, I'll just cut it in half. I'll keep the man half and throw away the front. But then after doing that, then he found he got no golden eggs anymore. Prabhupada gives this example that we don't pick and choose. He's the acharya. They pick and choose. And then we follow according to their direction. So what they have picked is not too much for us. So, but those must be seen, as Srila Rupa Goswami says, through our acharya, through Srila Prabhupada. Not that we pull out the Hari Bhakti Vilas and start saying, hey, this, that. We have to know what is the mood and the consciousness behind following the rule. This is very important. So then, this means that since the principles are intact, that means anyone can follow it. If your consciousness is on Anandamaya, then you get a transcendental result. If your consciousness is on the Brahman platform, you can get that. If you want Dharma, Artha, or Kama, you can also get that. That Bhagavatam Shloka, not the Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kama, the other one?
Sarva.
Yes, Sarva. Akamo, Sarva Kamo, Va. Moksha Karma, Adharati. Means whatever you want. You want sense gratification, you want liberation, you want siddhi, whatever you want. You want devotional service, you come to Krishna. So Krishna is recommending, whatever you want, come to him. Follow the Bhagavad Dharma. Forget this Asuric Varnashram. Because then you're recognizing Krishna. So Krishna will give, okay, you want that? Take it. You want to be Rama? Fine, here it is. You want to be Indra? Or anyway, take. Devotional service? Now that's another question. So the point is, the system is not that it's harder for others to follow. It's easy. Because they think, I do this, I chant Hare Krishna, I go to the night planet, sorry. But we're just saying that we should understand, you chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Therefore, the Bhagavatam gives all these stories of someone who is following the process, but is not keeping their consciousness pure. Because that you'll get. Whatever you think of at the time of death, that's where you'll go. And Prabhupada says, the life is the preparation for death. What you do in life, that's generally what you're going to think of at death. So the life is a preparation. So the question is that the someone may, these different levels of consciousness, may they go through those, through their life, do they affect them at different times, or is there a progression through them, or how does it work? So the basic principle is that the devotee is trying to situate himself on the platform of Anandamaya. We have the conditioning, we do have, conditioning of these other four levels. That's the problem. If that wasn't there, then we just meet the guru, he tells us chant 3 lakhs of names, and we just chant, and good chant back to God. And because we have the conditioning of these other four levels of consciousness, therefore, the Pancharatrik system, the Daiva Varnashram system are there to purify us of those habits. There, that is so how we approach it. Alright, I have this kind of consciousness and this is the best situation for me. I follow these aspects of the Varna or the Ashram. Therefore it's called the Bhuti Yoga, or the Yoga of Intelligence. Because you have to be intelligent to understand where you're situated. Or you have to be intelligent enough to understand that maybe I can't fully understand, someone else can understand. So we must take shelter of others and or surrender to others, they must give shelter. So this means who develop that mood to take shelter and surrender to Krishna. So just as Prabhupada says, the guru is one who accepts service on behalf of, they must subject us. Just like now, Krishna just walked in the door right now, what would you do? You think about it. What would you do? Krishna walked in right this second. What would you do? Point is someone who's already situated on the transcendental platform knows Krishna. He walks in, they immediately relate to him according to their rasa. Means, cowherd boy, oh, you're here, Krishna, let's go play. Mother Jasoda is there like that. Oh, you're here, Krishna, you come. You take something to eat, take your bath, this, that. Immediately, service is there. Now, if he walks in, what are you going to do? So therefore, in the system of sadhana bhakti, to awaken our love for Krishna. Because right? We don't know what Krishna likes to eat, this, that. It's not that he's not at 6:30 in the morning, not as he's sneaking out and getting out the little tin and getting out a little muri, putting some mustard oil on top, putting a little chili. That's not what's going on. So we don't know what Krishna likes to eat, when he likes to eat, how he likes to eat. Krishna likes to wear dhoti and chadar. You ever seen Krishna in a black t-shirt, you know, with some far out thing in the front? Huh? Yeah, Hawaii. Is it? You've seen? Krishna likes? And some nice bidesh, foreign shoes, foreign, like that. You see? Anyone seen at all of any of the temples in India on the altar, some Reebok shoes sitting there in front of Krishna? Yeah, we've seen? No, or some fancy bag when he goes out. Nice. That is our tastes. Right? So therefore, without the rules and regulations, how can I know what Krishna wants? Isn't it? What kind of music he likes? Then surely Anup Jalota is sitting there with his bottle of whiskey. Tablas are playing. It's so nice. But no, there's what Krishna he likes. Right? They play Khol, Kartal. They sing in a certain way. So like that, then we have to learn these things. So that is the Varnashram system. That is the devotional rules and regulations. This is the purpose. So therefore, we have to address where our consciousness is at and take that and purify it. So that means we become purified when we do it according to Krishna's ways. right? Some say many paths, but one goal. There's only one path with many goals. So wherever you want to stop on the path, that's what you get. In between you have heavenly planets, earth planet, you know, Brahma Loka, everything is in between. So wherever you want, you can get, but it's only one path. So therefore, when we face Krishna, we move that direction. But if we face Krishna but only see the heavenly planets, we'll only get there. But if we face Krishna and we see Him, then we get Vrindavan. And if we don't face Krishna, we face the other way, then we go down. So therefore, the rules and regulations are there to keep us facing Krishna and moving that direction. Therefore, Rupa Goswami doesn't talk about baseball hats, whether you wear them frontwards or backwards, or you wear them sideways, or these things. So we have to be very, very careful what we want. It's not that we go through the Bhakti program, and then after 2 months, 3 months, and then that's it, holo. And of course, a little bit more is there. We have to join the Orange Club.